Would you pray with me? Father, we ask you probably every Sunday, and we ask it again, would you speak to our hearts? We thank you, Lord, that we can be here, that you've opened our eyes enough to see that it's a good thing to come and to worship you, to sit under the preaching of your word and the instruction of your word. Father, just pray that you would clear any disturbance, any anxiety, any just busyness of the mind. Father, any sin that we need to let go of, to confess before you, and to allow you to cleanse us of all the unrighteousness, to forgive us of that sin. We thank you, Lord, that that way is possible and how we do need that. One day we won't, Lord. We will see Jesus Christ. We will meet him in the air, and that battle will be done. But Lord, there is a battle going here now. And what we want above all else is to honor your name, your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Is it ever okay to disobey our government? With more and more legislative and judicial rulings that oppose our biblical values, what are we to do as believers in Jesus Christ? How do we prepare? And how much time do we take as a church for this discussion? I began a journey a couple of weeks ago asking God to direct me in this. As a result of my praying and seeking, I believe God has led me to take the next four Sundays, counting today, to examine a biblical perspective concerning our relationship with and our approach to government. I began my search looking for the clearest, most compelling examples in the Bible of conflicts of faith that would provide us with solid biblical answers. So, is it ever okay to disobey our government? Short answer, yes. But as we move through these studies, I want us to keep in mind at least four overriding principles, four overriding factors. First overriding factor, God is sovereign Lord of the universe, including this world. Our God reigns. We are to never, ever forget that. No matter the storm clouds, no matter political or economic turmoil. First overriding factor, our God reigns. Second overriding factor, the Bible tells us that the darkness is passing away. So no matter our perception of the growing darkness and decay of society, God tells us in his word that the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining, 1 John 2:8. Third overriding factor, God clearly and unmistakably tells us to submit to government. God says, submit and obey. Which leads to our fourth overriding factor, which is a question that we absolutely must face. Why? Or what? What is my motivation? If I do come to the place where I disobey the government, why did I do it? What was at the heart of my decision? Loyalty to God or defiance toward the government? And this is key. In other words, am I looking for a way to obey God? Am I looking for a way to follow through on his clear, unmistakable teaching in his word? Or am I looking for an out? Am I looking for a loophole? Is my general attitude and approach to government one of submissiveness or defiance? That will speak volumes. So let's continue in our study today with a question. What happens if we are brought before the government to answer for our faith? And what we're going to see in our text, that God answers our question as only God can answer our question. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, verse 16? Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Now, I'm going to jump ahead just a spot, and we're going to come back and we're going to cover this more thoroughly, but I want you to jump down to verse 18. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake. Okay? Now, this is what brought me into this text. Because I began looking for examples, like I say, conflicts of faith. And we're going to have a bit of variety. In fact, I even asked a friend, I said, can you think of any possible, even potentially, that I can examine to see? We're going to have 8 messages, Lord willing, concerning this. And this was one of the first ones. It's that you can't get more. It's like, well, what if we're brought before the government? What if we're brought in a contentious matter before the government? Well, this text right here, this is what drew me into it. But as I said, you know, I was, here's what I started to say. As I said, God answers our questions as only God can. Because I got into this, and God wowed me, he amazed me, and he dumbfounded me. And I thought, well, do I really know what dumbfounded means? Because that's the word that came to my mind, and so I looked it up. Surprised, staggered, astounded, amazed, and there's more. It's like, yep, that's what God did. I believe if you let God speak to your heart this morning, he will do the same thing. So we're going to go back now to the beginning of our text. Jesus, the world is getting darker, all kinds of turmoil, the contention they're going to face for the gospel. Verse 16, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know, we go by that way too quickly. When, do you remember? I know you do. I'm asking, but I know you do. Art Linkletter's feature, or the radio feature, and then later on television, kids say the darndest things. Now, I don't know. Maybe somebody's already done it. I don't know that they have, but we could write a book, or at least a collection of sayings. God says the darndest things. Can you, your shepherd, what is your shepherd telling? You're getting ready to get commissioned to take the gospel out against the darkness. One of the translations says, look, I'm sending you out as sheep among the wolves. Can you, we let the impact of that hit us. It's, Jesus is called, and you have this in your study sheet, he's called the good shepherd. He's called the great shepherd. He's called the chief shepherd. We look at Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. God, what did you just say? Jesus, what did you just say? You're sending me out as a sheep in the midst of wolves? Why would God do a thing like that? If you were under my care and someone said, Dave sent you out as a sheep in the midst of wolves, you'd say, boy, some kind of pastor he is. Or your children. You say, well, your children, you didn't prepare your children for that. You sent your children out as sheep in the midst of wolves. These are frail humans, but Jesus is God. Jesus is perfect. He's our good shepherd, our chief shepherd, our great shepherd. He's looking at them, and he's saying, look, You, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Do sheep fight wolves? He wasn't sending them out to fight, was he? What's going on here? What is their protection? What is their strength? If he tells them, he doesn't pick some other animal. Did you know, by the way, in doing a little research on this, that donkeys, that their people use, donkeys for to guard the sheep? Guard donkey. Serious. And, of course, dogs, but there was, a llama. Llamas. They use llamas to guard the sheep. Now, I don't know if, you know, you could probably wouldn't want to mess with a donkey, or a bigger one anyway, or a mule, but a sheep. He didn't send them out as some animal to fight the world. Can we agree on that in this text? If Jesus is I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So who's their strength? Where's their protection? The shepherd. Isn't it funny how God answers these questions? The shepherd. We go out under the power. We go out under the authority of the shepherd. The sheep are sent. We are sent into the darkness. The battle is the Lord's. We share the message. The battle is the shepherd's. The responsibility for care, the responsibility for protection, the responsibility for strength and for authority. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. Your power and your authority, they comfort me. The Lord is our shepherd. Are you dumbfounded yet? Have I got you there yet? And we're sent out, and that is our trust. Our God is sovereign Lord of the universe. Our God reigns. Can he handle it when he sends his sheep out into the darkness? Yes, he can. He tells us what we are to be about. He identifies us. He tells us the nature and character of who we are to be. And he said, I send you out as a sheep among the wolves. If he wasn't the good shepherd, if he wasn't the great shepherd, if he wasn't the chief shepherd, if he wasn't Lord God of all, it might be a mean thing or a foolish thing. But our God reigns. The shepherd of Psalm 23 reigns. That isn't just a little nice story for a warm glass of milk and some cookies. The Lord, sovereign ruler of all, is my shepherd. Our shepherd sends out his sheep among the wolves because the shepherd has a sovereign providential plan. Our shepherd, secondly, instructs us to be wise and innocent. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And at this time, snakes, serpents, had quite a reputation for how wary they were, how wise, how circumspect. So we don't just go out there unthinking, but we also don't overthink it. We are to be circumspect, we are to be wary, but we never let what we see overrule our directive from the shepherd. As we go out, and we're innocent as doves, we don't get into the alley fights. Again, sheep weren't sent out there to fight. If God wanted an animal to fight, he wouldn't have sent sheep, would he? Now, are we part of the spiritual battle? Yes, we are. We're going to look at that more tonight. We are part of the spiritual battle, but what we have to know is, what is our part of the spiritual battle? And what is God's part? Have it in the Old Testament, the battle is the Lord's. I just read this morning in Psalm 44. The psalmist declaring, it's not us, it's not our strength. We're not winning by our sword, it's you, God. You're given the victory. Psalm 44, if you want to write that down, check it out later. Our shepherd instructs us to be wise and innocent. Our shepherd cautions us to be wary of people, verses 17 to 25. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And that verse, I checked everybody's translations. It's really close. I wanted to make sure it said that. It's the Spirit of our Father speaking through us at that moment. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house, you know we're speaking of Jesus Christ here. Jesus is saying, if they have called me the devil, Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? It hurts when we are maligned. It hurts when people throw... You know, I had a great day out in the community. I just about covered the whole north end on the north side of the tracks. And I got some really good responses. And I got some not so good, but that's okay too. But that coldness, that hardness, that darkness that's there, that maligning, the things that you know that people might say. And it really does hurt us. And... But we've got to be careful that we let God put that in context, because here our shepherd is telling us this is going to happen. He's saying it happened to me. Was Jesus perfect? Perfect in wisdom, perfect in love, perfect in manner, just perfect. And they took his name and they threw him down in the garbage. So they'll do that to our master, our Lord, our teacher. Jesus is saying they're going to do it to you. Well, let's go back to the beginning of this section here. Our shepherd cautions us to be wary of people. He says, beware of men. See, men, and this would be people, men, we would look at in the secular realm. In those, I'm not saying non-religious, I should say, and the religious, but not believing realm. That's what I'm trying to say. Because this group of people is locked into this world. Now, someone may actually not want to do your harm, but when it comes down to you or them, who are they choosing? They're going to choose themselves over you. This is back to that being wary as a serpent. Be wary, be aware, beware of men. They will deliver you over to the courts. Jesus, our shepherd, wants us to know what we're getting into. Now, these courts here, almost assuredly, are the Jewish courts, not the courts of the government, although there were many similarities because they had a very strong system. But this isn't speaking of the courts in general. I do believe we can run a parallel, though, and flog you in their synagogues. But here it is talking about the government. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. Let's not go too fast right there. Why are you being dragged before the governors and kings? Whose plan is this? Got an evil governor and an evil king. I'm going to drag you, Christian, before my court. Whose plan was that? Sovereign God. Because what does he say? How do I know that? He says, you're being done that to bear witness before them. Is it going to be pleasant? But what is God telling? What is our shepherd telling us? You're going to draw them into their place, and you are going to speak. In fact, let me just jump to verse 20. And what are you going to speak? Oh, well, oh, by the way, it's not you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Isn't it amazing how God answers our questions? Isn't it amazing that God, the direction God will take us when we open the path up to His guidance and instruction? When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that hour. How do we prepare for that? What is our shepherd telling us? You don't prepare for that. See, we've got our shepherd is sovereign Lord. Our shepherd is responsible for protection, for authority, for strength. Our shepherd is going to let them unwittingly draw those stupid little sheep into their courts. And then those stupid little weak sheep, those religious do-gooders, our shepherd has it all set up because he's sovereign Lord of the universe, and they're going to bring those sheep in. And what are these people going to hear? They're going to hear the voice of the Spirit of our Father in heaven. It's right here. It's right there in our Bibles, isn't it? Does anyone want to face any kind of martyrdom or this oppression and that? We don't. But to face it in the right way, folks, we've got to have God's perspective. We've got to have Bible. We've got to have Bible. And God, we're going to look at tonight how specific God is in this battle instructions. He cautions us to be wary of people. Our shepherd calls us to be fearless and visionary. Fearless and visionary. Verses 26 to 33. So have no fear of them. We got sovereign Lord of the universe. The Lord is my shepherd. Shepherding everything. He's saying, so have no fear. On your study sheet on the back side there, I got down that Jesus, my shepherd, the ultimate in I've got your back. You know, we have that expression, we'll tell each other every now and then, I've got your back. Well, Jesus is the ultimate in that. Our shepherd, I've got your back. So do not have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value. The sovereign Lord of the universe values his sheep than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. What an amazing opportunity. Have no fear of them, folks. All the stuff that's whispered, all of the lies that are broadcast through every form of media, whether it's newspapers, internet, radio, TV, it's all going to be brought out into the open for the one who calls everyone naked before him one day, the perfect judge of all. So as we're doing these things, we take courage in that. Jesus says, don't fear. It's all going to be revealed. We take courage in that. And we take joy. Here we are, sheep sent out in the midst of wolves. That sheep standing one day before the throne of God. Jesus said, that one spoke up for me, Father. And that one over there. And that one over there. And we get acknowledgement by God the Father, King of heaven. It's all going to be revealed. Don't fear. It's all going to be revealed. Don't fear. They might kill our bodies. I hope it doesn't come to that, but it might. What's our shepherd tell us? Don't fear. What do we hear our God telling us throughout Scripture? Don't fear. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Have no fear. Fear not, therefore, more value than many sparrows. Verses 32 and 33. See, it's back to that. The sheep were drugged before the governors and kings. Now the Father, the Spirit of God the Father, is speaking through the sheep. The wolves are howling, baring their teeth, impending doom. And what happens? The sheep of God speak. The voice of God speaks through the sheep of God. Just a witness to them and a witness to God and His angels. Our shepherd calls us to be fearless and visionary. See, to be able to go out and follow our calling as the sent ones of God, we need to be fearless, we need to be visionary. You can't look at the immediate slap in the face. You can't look at the immediate, the cold shoulder, the haughty words. You can't. You got to have, everything's going to be revealed one day before God. What glory that will be. We've got to be visionary. We've got to live like this earth is not the end of the trail. We've got to live like, we can't live like this, like we're going to live this earth and just we'll work our own good the best we can. We'll drop dead one day and go to heaven. That's not how it works. Once you step through the narrow gate that Matthew writes of in Matthew 7, your first step through that narrow gate, your first, when you believe in Jesus Christ and receive His gift of eternal life, now you can say, and forever, the Lord is my shepherd. And you are on the path of God at that moment. The narrow path that went through the narrow gate, and you are His, and you are valuable to Him, and you may be sent out, and you lose your life, and you will stand and say, glory to God. Our shepherd calls us to the reality of following Him. We're used to the language, our shepherd calls us to count the cost. Do not think, verse 34, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, if we cave to the pressure of this world, if we seek just the good, if we seek our life in this world, if our intent is just to carve out our life in this world, and here's our goals and our dreams, we will lose that life. But if we lose our lives before the shepherd, and the shepherd says, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, and we're going to say, God, did you really say that? He said, send us out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Call us to give ourselves up, to take up our cross, which means that we sacrifice our lives. We're continually seeking the good of God, the good of the people around us. Folks, there is a fountain overflowing when we let go of our pursuit of happiness, when we let go of our pursuit of significance and fulfillment, and we just listen to our shepherd. And He opens up the world of God to us. The Lord is my shepherd. He provides everything I need. He finds places of quietness and refreshment for my soul. He directs my life to right acts in the name of God. And even when facing death in the valley of the wolves, I'm not afraid. Why would I be? My shepherd is with me, and he comforts me by his great power and authority. He showers his abundance on me every single day, even in the presence of dark enemies. He treats me as royalty. My life overflows. And now goodness and mercy are everywhere, following me like faithful hounds. And I get to live with God forever. If you turn near your study sheet, I want you to, this last verse on the side says, I am the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the last one there, the Hebrews. I want you to stand with me and read that. It's like a blessing. Would you stand with me? Read that together. You see what I mean, don't you? It's the bottom scripture text on the inside of your on the inside of your handout. It starts, now may the God of peace. Would you read that with me? Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.